Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Good to have you here this morning. We're grateful that you took time to come out, not just to worship God, but that you came here to do it. And we're looking forward to our worship time this morning. One of the ways we get started together here at Grace Point is to give you an opportunity just to say hello to someone next to you, maybe in front of you or behind you, and welcome them to church this morning. So would you stand with me, please, and say hello to someone? So this Thursday, Thanksgiving, by show of hands, who is absolutely fully 100% ready for Thursday, Thanksgiving Day? Anybody? Liar, 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 liar. No, what it should be is I'm coming to your house and your house and your house. Thanksgiving is a great time, not just for our nation to be grateful, but for us, we who are Christians, believers, because we have so very much to be grateful for. No matter what the status of our life at this time, we have reasons to give thanks. So I want to read a psalm for you, Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. And just look and listen for reasons we have to be thankful. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Why? For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. So come and let us sing to the Lord. Pray with me. God, we come before you today and desire to praise you and to thank you for all the blessings that you allow us to enjoy. From the very moment you created the earth, the sky, the moon, the seas, the stars, for the time that you created us and allowed us to come into your world to experience life and blessing and to have a chance to know you, for this and so much more, we humbly say thank you. Bless our service, Lord. May it indeed be a time where we give back to you the thanks and praise that you deserve. And through that, Lord, continue to grow us, change us, make us the people you want us to be, make us the church that you want us to be. We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you had some connection with some of those things going on to realize no matter what the circumstance we're in, we have reasons to be thankful. I love that car with the faux wood down the side. It's back in the 70s. Was that the 70s stuff? I think I'm going to go find one of those. This week, our nation does celebrate Thanksgiving, and the irony of it all is sometimes very little thanks is actually given. We're so busy cooking food. Did you realize that Thanksgiving prep alone can take 2 weeks and 5 hours? That's what the government told me. 2 weeks and 5 hours. And then there's eating, entertaining and eating, watching football and eating. So much is happening that sometimes we take very little time to actually give thanks. I read that the average American celebrating the holiday will spend about $952 on food, drinks, travel, decorations, and miscellaneous items. Americans together are expected to spend $127 billion over the Thanksgiving holiday, all the way up into Cyber Monday. So I want to share with you this morning a message called Radical Gratitude, because as believers, as someone who acknowledges God, we need to realize we actually have a tremendous amount of blessings for which to be grateful. As a matter of fact, in 1 Chronicles 29:16, the Bible says this, everything has come from you, God, and everything belongs to you. We should never have to pause or hesitate or scratch our heads wondering what we have to be grateful for. There's plenty. So I want to share with you, first of all, five things that we can be grateful for. If you have your bulletin, look in there for the outline. You should have it in there. You can take the notes as we go along here. Five things that we're grateful for. I am grateful to God, number one, for the grace He has shown me. For the grace that He has shown me. In Ephesians 2:8, Paul said this, "You have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God." Now, what is grace? Grace is everything God does for us, even though we don't deserve it. Grace is God giving us what we need, not what we deserve. Folks, everything that you have is given to you by God's grace. Everything God does in you, to you, through you, with you, and for you is by His grace. We don't deserve it, but He gives it to us anyhow. Look what the psalm writer wrote in Psalm 103, verses 2 through 11. He said, "I will not forget the glorious things God does for me." What are those things? Underline some of this stuff as we go. "He forgives all my sin." Underline that word, forgives. It's incredible to know that when we sin, when we choose to disobey God, His grace forgives us. "He heals me. He ransoms me from hell. He surrounds me with love. He fills my life with good things. He is merciful and tender toward us who don't deserve it." I like this one, and I have a hard time believing it, actually. "He is slow to get angry." I'm sure I get on God's nerves quite a bit. I'm sure there are plenty of times He just looks down to me and He says, "Kevin, really?" "He is slow to get angry." I love this next one. "He never bears a grudge." You ever have a grudge against somebody? Somebody just ticked you off so bad. Somebody mistreated you. They didn't do right by you. And you just have, "I'm going to get him. I'm so mad. I'm so angry." Look at this. With all that we don't do right, all that we do wrong, He never bears a grudge. And He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. I could just end the message right now, and we could end on that. He has not punished us as we deserve for our sins. Folks, without God's grace that He has shown to us, we would be absolutely hopeless. But by and because of God's grace, our sins can be forgiven, our guilt can be taken away, our emotions are healed, our fears can be erased. We have eternity in heaven one day. God surrounds us every moment with His grace. Number two, I'm grateful to God, secondly, for the plan He has for me. For the plan He has for me. Folks, your life is not an accident. You were made for a reason, for a purpose, and God has a plan for your life. You say, "Well, my parents didn't plan me." Doesn't matter. God planned you. No baby was ever born by accident. There may be illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate children. And if you're still alive today, and it looks like most of you are, then God has a plan for your life. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "I have good plans for you, says the Lord. I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future." Now, folks, that's something that you can thank God for. God's plan is so good, it's so great, that God can even take our mistakes. God can even take our failures. God can take things that other people do to us to hurt us, and He can work all of that in to His plan for our lives, to bless us and to grow us. God's plan is good. It is. But it's not always cotton candy and roses. There are times we're disappointed. There are times we need discipline. Why? To mold our character into the person that God wants us to be, to become more and more like Jesus was. And part of your plan, he says in this verse, is to give you hope. You realize you cannot live without hope. You literally cannot live without hope. People who live, who give up all hope, just sit down or lay down, and their hope is gone, they will die. You need hope to live the way God wants us to live. We need hope. On December 17, 1927, the U.S. submarine, the USS S-4, sank. It was rammed accidentally by the U.S. Coast Guard destroyer Paulding off the coast of Provincetown, Massachusetts. It sank immediately. Six men were trapped in the forward torpedo part of the submarine. And with, I guess, some type of tool, they began to tap on the submarine where the metal was, and they tapped out in Morse code. And here's the message that they tapped out. The message was simple. Is there any hope? We need hope to live. I'm sure there have been times in your life you have felt hopeless. Not sure you can go on. God's plan is to give us hope in the midst of our hopelessness. Because with God, there's always hope. What do you need hope for? You ever been in a situation that seemed insurmountable to you? You couldn't go over it. You couldn't go through it. You couldn't go around it. You couldn't go under it. I mean, it just stopped you in your tracks. When we feel like that, we need hope. Maybe you need hope for a job or a project you're doing. Maybe you need hope for school or healthy relationships or a promotion, performing well when you're called to do so. With God, there's always hope. How about this? You think you need hope when you've blown it? You think you need hope when you're the one who stepped out from God's will for your life and you made the wrong decision? Do you need hope then? Man, that's when I need hope the most. God is a God of hope. At those times, God says, I'll give you hope. My hope is this, I'll forgive you through my son Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, you understand he didn't deserve to die there. He was being punished, not for what he did wrong. On the cross, he was punished for what we have done wrong. He took all the punishment we deserved and he put it upon himself when he died on the cross. He was sacrificed, he was crucified, he was punished for our sins so we wouldn't have to be. You talk about hope? That's a hope that every person in the world needs to have. I'm grateful to God for the grace he has shown me, for the plan he has for me, and number three, for the home he's prepared for me. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:1, we know that our body will be destroyed. But when that happens, God will have a house for you. It will not be a house made of human hands. Instead, it will be a home in heaven that will last forever. You've been around here when we've had hurricane? How many of you were here back in Hugo, way back in the 80s? Did you see some houses that were built to be hurricane sturdy? And what happened to some of them? Gone. Either there are no hurricanes in heaven, or if there are, doesn't matter. We will not be toppled over by them. Folks, God has made us to last forever. Paul says, I know our body's going to be destroyed, but when we get to heaven, that won't happen any longer. Our lives, our human bodies, weren't made to last forever. One day our body's going to die, but it won't be the end of you. You have a soul. You were created in God's image with a soul. And you're going to spend eternity with God if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Many of you here, maybe most of you, maybe all of you have already done that. But if you've not made that commitment yet, why? It's a good decision to just say, Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know I've done wrong. I can't save myself. So Jesus, you died on the cross. Jesus, please come into my life. I give my life to you. You trust in God to forgive you, and you trust in God to give you a home in heaven one day. Now, there's some stuff going to go on in heaven. Let me give you four things that's going to happen in heaven. First of all, you're going to be reunited. Fill that in. You're going to be reunited in heaven with other believers who have gone on before you. Anybody here have somebody in heaven right now that they know died and went to heaven? I can't wait. I hope the ones I'm going to miss aren't off partying somewhere in heaven when I get there and I have to wait for them. They better be waiting right there. We'll be reunited with other believers who've gone on before. Secondly, we'll be rewarded. Can you imagine that? God's going to reward us? I'm like, dude, what? For all the times I've missed it, but you're still going to reward me? For our faith, for our trust in God, for our servants to God, and our obedience to God. Third, we're going to be reassigned. Ever been in a company or military where they say, hey, you've been reassigned? In heaven, we're going to get tasks to do, things that we enjoy. Not things just to keep us busy, but things. Listen, when God created humanity and put them in the Garden of Eden and gave them work to do, it was good work. It was something that they enjoyed. They messed it up when they sinned. But when we get to heaven, we're going to enjoy what God gives us. And thank God in heaven, there are no Mondays. Phew, so glad. And last, we're going to be released. We're going to be released from pain, from fear, from depression, from anxiety, from worry, from uncertainty, from sorrow, conflict, stress. Anything else, you just add to the list. We're going to be released from all of that. Now, if that's how heaven's going to be, we need to ask the question, well, then who is heaven made for? Look at these verses in 1 Peter. God has reserved for, underline those two words, his children, the priceless gift of eternal life. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of any change and decay. And God, in his mighty power, will make sure that you get there safely to receive it because you are trusting him. So be truly glad. Who gets to heaven? People who've become God's children. I said that just a little while ago. You make a commitment to Christ. You ask him into your life. You become a child of God. And when you die, you instantaneously will be in heaven for all eternity. So we're grateful to God for the grace he's shown us, for the plan he has for us, for the home he's prepared for us, and number four, for the changes he's making in me now. I'm very grateful to God for the changes he's making in my life. While far from perfect, I know that just disappointed many of you, I'm far from perfect. God has been changing me for the last 50 years. And either he's not very good at it, or I'm the one who keeps falling short. I can't figure that one out. But he never gives up on us. He brings us healing for troubled emotions. He continues to change us a little bit at a time. I'm sure you have some reasons to thank God for the changes he's making in you, changes that he's made, changes that he's making, and changes that he will make one day. Look what Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. He's working in you. He's working in us to change us, to love him and to obey him and to please him. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. Underline that phrase. We become more and more like him. That's an ongoing event. We don't just become more like God wants us to be, and that's it. More and more and more, and then we think, man, we're on a roll. Then God says, oh no, we got to change these things too. So it's more and more and more and more and more and more like Him. If anybody didn't get it, I'll repeat that. God is working within us to become more like Him. You know, one of our goals here at Grace Point Church is changed lives. Because we know that God is at work changing us, and He wants to change everyone to become the person that God always wanted them to be. Aren't you glad that God is still in the business of changing lives? Changing your life and changing other people's lives? We need to have a lot of patience with some people, but we should have patience with them, because God's not finished with them, just like He's not finished with us. I'm grateful to God for the grace He's shown me, the plan He has for me, the home He's prepared for me, the changes He's making in me. And number five, I thank God for never, never giving up on me. Look what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are unfaithful, He remains faithful to us and will help us. And He will always carry out His promises to us. If we're unfaithful, it doesn't make God unfaithful. If we're unfaithful, God remains faithful. And He'll carry every promise He ever made. He'll carry it out for us. And if anyone out there, any of you ever fallen short of what God called you to be or God called you to do? If we were a hand-raising church, they would all been up there. All of us have done that. And by the way, you can raise your hands anytime you want to. We have some of the raises when we sing a lot, and that's okay. No problem. Some of you are just, like, starting to hand raise. Some of you are like, I'll give it a try. Some of you are getting bold. If you're almost there, it's one hand. But you're really into it, there you go. God never gives up on us. Even when we give up on ourselves. There's a song, Jason, I think we've sung this. I know we have. You never let go. Some of the words to that are this. Oh no, talking about God, oh no. You never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go. You never let go of me. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God doesn't let go of you? We let go of Him sometimes, but He never lets go of us. Okay, those are five things that we have to be grateful for. Now, let me give you a couple of ways we can do it. First of all, we can give thanks to God by singing. Psalm 147, 7. Sing out your thanks to Him. Sing praises to our God. When you praise God, you become very aware of His presence in your life. There's something powerful about praising the Lord, particularly in music and song. I hear people say this all the time. Well, I can't sing. Maybe you can't sing well. But that never stops you from singing with the radio, singing in the shower, going down the highway with your favorite music on. And you don't have to be able to sing well anyhow, because the Bible says, make a joyful noise. Now, I've heard some of you. You can make some noises. This is one of the reasons Libby and I sit close to down front, so nobody sits in front of us, and I can sing as loud as I want. I just hope I never get you upset, Jason, and you miss a chord or two or something. I love to sing. I'm just not very good at it, but I enjoy it a whole lot. And there's good Christian music out there. You don't have to just go buy tapes or eight tracks. I'm dating you. You knew what it was, didn't you? It's on the radio. We have good Christian music on the radio. And singing is good. Singing does good things for you. Singing actually produces changes in you, physiological changes and emotional changes. Singing lowers cortisol and relieves stress and tension. Studies have shown that when people sing, endorphins and oxytocin are released by the brain that lowers stress and anxiety levels in yourself. Studies have proven that singing is heart healthy. It elevates mood, reduces stress, it relieves symptoms of depression, it stimulates memories, it manages and eases pain, it helps people eat less, and it has a spiritual connection. We need to pay Jason more, right? Man, that saved me a few visits to the doc right there. I don't know any pill that CVS or Walgreens has that can do all of that for you. But you can come to church and you can sing praises to God. How do you give thanks? By singing. Secondly, by serving. By serving. Since we have, look what Paul, the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 12:28, since we have a kingdom that nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving Him with thankful hearts. You serve God with a heart of gratitude. When we serve God, we shouldn't look at it as just some chore or duty or obligation. It's a privilege to serve God. Now, I will say this. If you're serving God and you're just not into it because you're not, your feelings have just left yourself, that doesn't mean you should quit. Just keep on serving. The feelings are up and down. They'll come back. But we serve God as a way to thank Him for His goodness. That video we saw, every one of those circumstances that came up, eventually found something for which to give thanks in those circumstances. And that's what we should do. By singing, by serving, number three, by giving. Psalm 50, verse 14, give an offering to show thanks to God. Give Him what you promised. The Bible says that the level of my giving shows the level of my gratitude. We should thank God for His goodness to us. One of the things we do back is we give back to other people. We give back to God. Look at Deuteronomy 16, verse 10. Celebrate the harvest festival to honor the Lord your God by bringing Him a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing He has given you. A freewill offering means an offering that you don't owe God by certain things in the year. It's just something you want to bring back to God. And there are three things we can do in our giving that will help us with this. Number one, we can review our commitment. Have I been consistent in what I give to God? Have I given according to how He has blessed me? Have I given by faith? I know I can afford this. Sometimes God says, give a little bit more. Review your commitment. Secondly, renew your commitment. Sometimes we can get out of the habit of giving back to God. I understand that. We'll just get back into it. How do you get back into a habit? Two ways. You can just jump in full dive or just do a little bit at a time until you get back to the level where you were. Review, renew, and number three there, outdo my commitment. Outdo my commitment. God wants our faith to grow day by day, year by year. One way we do that is to grow in our giving. Now, some of you who've been here with us for a while know that we're getting ready to do, actually, we've already started the Angel Tree Gift Ministry. Back in the hallway, you'll see two trees, and on them now are tags. Each one of those tags has a gift that folks on James Island, needy folks, needy families, needy children, has a gift that on each one of those tags that you can take and go purchase that gift. Bring the gift and the tag together, unwrapped, back to the church no later than the 14th of December. We need them by then. Bring them back. If you want to take two tags, go ahead. And this is one way we can give back to families in our own area who just are struggling and aren't doing so well. One another way we've been talking about at our church is Growing Grace. Growing Grace is the renovation and church growth initiative of our church. Has anybody here seen our new playground equipment? You know why they put the yellow tape around it? Because John kept getting on. He wouldn't get off. the new fence we have over here, this is just a tiny bit of what we're going to do with the building behind us, our fellowship building, and this building inside and out is going to be unbelievably, wonderfully renovated. It's going to make us have a building that where I think God wants us to be as people come and we share God's love with them. And if you're members or regular attenders, we want you to be part of that. Matter of fact, next week, I think we're hoping all of the grace, the Growing Grace pledge cards should be in. You should have found these inside of your bulletin. Now, if you're visiting with us, if you're not one of our regulars, please don't think we're asking you to do this. But for our regulars, make sure you write your pledge down. The pledge should be carried out in the next 2 years. You don't have to give it all at once. Over the course of 2 years, just write down what you're going to give. Pray about it, write it down, and then turn it back in through the offering boxes back on the wall. Okay? All right. And by the way, we're doing really well. The total project cost is $471. It went up a little bit. Do you know estimates can go up if you don't hop on them right away? I'm like, what? Just because we got an estimate last year, it's not good now? So the cost, all of it, $471. We've already paid out to some of the contractors and stuff, $76,000. So we owe $395. So $395, but remember I told you already people, I guess we just have some really excited people because people have been giving before we even finished the pledging. People have given $104,556 and we haven't even asked yet. Whoa. I think we're just going to pay this thing off right away. So we really only need $290,000 more. So you pray, you pledge, you give over the next 2 years, and we won't have to ask any bank close to us for a dime. Wouldn't that be great? You think God can do that? Yeah, thank you. I do too. All right. And then lastly, you give thanks by singing, serving, giving, and last by telling. You want to really show your gratitude to God for what he's done for you? Then you got to tell somebody else about him. Anytime you tell somebody the good news, you are thanking God. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4. Thank the Lord. Praise his name. Then look, tell the world about his wondrous love and how mighty he is. Thank him, praise him. Great. Now go tell them. Do you know of anybody in your family, where you work, in your school? Do you know of anybody who needs to hear the good news? If you don't, you need to get around some people who are lost. I mean, this is good. We want to come here. But you need to live in the midst of people who haven't heard Jesus so you can tell them. Tell somebody about the good news that God has for us. And you need to do it. You say, isn't that why we pay you? I don't know why you pay me. I enjoy this. You know why you need to tell somebody? Because nobody else has your experience. Nobody else has your story. Nobody else has been through what you've been through. Nobody else has enjoyed the top of the mountain and the bottom of the valley like you have. And there are people that God puts in your path that he wants you to tell. Tell somebody. I can see you now in Walmart. Hey, I don't know who you are. My pastor said I had to tell somebody something. Come here. Whatever it takes, right? Whatever it takes. This Thanksgiving, let's practice some real, radical gratitude. Okay? All right, let's pray together. God, indeed, we have so many blessings that you've given us that we always have a reason to share our gratitude with you. And we are thankful for who you are, for what you've done for us. Jesus, we thank you that you came to forgive us and to die on the cross so our sins could be forgiven. God, thank you that you've placed us, you've kept us here on this earth for a reason, and you've placed us in different circumstances, different places that we live, different things we do when we go to work, different schools. You've taken us and put us there so we can tell them about Jesus. Help us to act out of our gratitude to you, God, and your blessings in such a way that we will have the opportunity to share your goodness with people around us. Thanks for our service. Now bless our time of response. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Folks, the transformation will take place, I guess, starting this afternoon and then tomorrow. This, when you come in next week, this will be a different place with Christmas up here, right? I guess next week. And today, if you haven't noticed yet, out in the hallway are the angel trees. And you're going, what in the world is that? We have several families in the area who, without some help, would not have a true Christmas where the children are able to be blessed with some nice gifts. We have the opportunity to participate in that. So when you exit today, you'll see those trees. You can pull a couple gifts off there. We'll give you more instruction as we get along with that. But you go out, you find those gifts. Don't wrap them up. We're going to have a wrapping party later on. Pastor Kevin's going to do some rap music, and that'll be a great rap contest. I don't think the guys are allowed, though, are we? No men allowed to that thing. So we may have to take that one right to the Supreme Court, get that squared away. So anyway, check that out. Also, if you're not in a small group, I hope you'll find a great place where you can come and just get to know folks, spend time with folks. James Allen Outreach, do we have that up there? Joe, it's coming up each month. Yeah, wait a second. That's the Jerusalem Outreach. So James Allen Outreach, check the bulletin. It's probably in there. And it's back here. Check that out. Get those dates. And then also, when coming up, as we said, the Advent wreath and all will be happening starting next week. So great time. Have a great Thanksgiving. And I think that's it, Jason. Yeah. We've got another song, right?
I forgot one of the points of my sermon. Can I do it now? Liars. Actually, I don't know if you all realize this, but 65 years ago, yesterday, God brought Pastor John into the world. Would you give John a happy birthday wish there?
Wait a minute now. 65 years ago, in October, God brought forth this gentleman right here. So we share about a month apart there, so yeah, thank you, Kevin.
But I am your elder, so obey me, okay?
Oh, man, I thought he was going to sing a song, man. I was getting excited. So, hey, folks, if you're a guest with us today, come by and say hi to one of the pastors. We would love that. If you filled out the little card, make sure you drop it in the boxes as you go. Let us pray as we go forth. Lord, thank you that truly, it is amazing grace. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity we have week after week come and worship you. Help us to worship you all throughout the week to take that same joy and excitement to the people we meet. Lord, we love you. We thank you now for your amazing grace. We pray it all in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.